electoral images and dreams. With the primary elections virtually a formality after the results from Super Tuesday, the dimensions of the 2004 presidential elections are fairly clear and indeed fairly predictable. The main candidates for the two major parties will be George W. Bush, Republican, and John Kerry, Democrat. Both men will spend millions of dollars in media buys and ads up to and following nominating conventions. What also seems clear is that both of these dudes come from moneyed families. Both are Yaleys, and both are reportedly bonesmen, members of the Yale-based secret society Skull and Bones. What is really remarkable is how similar these guys actually are. The caucuses and partisan polling thus far have delivered another message as clear as FedEx. Voters cast their ballots not so much for Kerry, a notoriously lackluster speaker, as they voted against the smirking Texan, partisan crank, who sends Dems into conniption fits. Both candidates have pluses and minuses. Bush's minuses are the Iraq War, waged on a lie about weapons of mass destruction, and the wheezing national economy. His pluses are a huge campaign war chest, reportedly over $100 million. Kerry's minuses are his voting record, which has largely supported the administration's initiatives on the war, and votes for the Patriot Act, which is feared and reviled by some citizens. His plus is Bush's negative. People deeply dislike Bush and want to see him pummeled in the next election. We shall see how it goes down on the first Tuesday of November 2004. What I'm suggesting is that the coming election isn't as much about issues as it is about perception, for both men are closer than we care to admit. John Kerry, who most certainly will challenge the president on the reasons for waging the Iraq War, will have to explain why he voted to support the president's military initiatives. Similarly, Kerry's attacks on the president's economic failures, including the precipitous loss of jobs, will flag his voting in favor of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which certainly is a key factor in those job losses. These potential problems came up during the caucuses and primaries, but they were resolved in favor of the magic elixir of Kerry's presumed electability, his ability to beat Bush. For those who are deeply opposed to the Iraq adventure, Kerry offers lukewarm comfort, as shown by his website, which reportedly sets the following goal in Iraq, quote, building a lasting coalition to support our operations, unquote. Workers and anti-war people may be angry and anxious by the actions and heated rhetoric by the Bush regime and calmed by the promises of Kerry. Yet as the guy who was the most ignored throughout the campaign has been hammering since day one, I speak here of Dennis Kucinich, NAFTA, NAFTA, NAFTA is the key to job drainage in the U.S. economy. Yet Kerry will hardly renounce U.S. support for the pact. He claims to want to fix it. In some sense, at least, in substance, if not in image, Kerry and Bush represent more similarities than differences. Despite their different cultural styles, different ways of speech and such, they're brothers of the same class, the well-to-do, who were born to privilege and spent their lives in a realm that most Americans will never know. Ultimately, the politics of emotion, of anger, of anxiety, of deeply felt rage even, will decide who will be the next president of the United States. Left unresolved, however, will be the underlying class bias that lies at the heart of the system itself, which means, ultimately, that this problem will crop up again and again until it truly is resolved. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.